Well, good morning, church. It was anyone watch the grand final yesterday? Yeah. Any Collingwood supporters? No, that's good to see. I think yesterday proved that God's not a Collingwood supporter either. So that's always, what do you get when you cross a brain cell with the Collingwood cheer squad? A marked improvement. But I bet, yeah, I know, that was a bit mean, wasn't it? Yeah, I'm raging against Collingwood supporters. But I see, notice G's not here this morning. He's a West Coast man. Just before we start, I noticed there's a lot of people crook this morning. I'm one of them. We've got the flu. So I'll just pray if you're sitting next to someone who's a bit crook, just put your hand on them if they're happy for you to do it. And if you're single, you never know. You might meet your partner. Father God, as Leon said, that you have authority over sickness. So in Jesus' name, we command all sickness in this place just to flee. In Jesus' name, we command that bodies are restored, and even simple things like the flu is gone in Jesus' name. Amen. Also, Lord God, I pray that you'll be with us as I preach this morning, and Your spirit will move freely. Nigel pretty much said what I was going to say in communion this morning, pretty much word for word. But I'll have to expand a little bit. but God's been leading me to certain scriptures lately, and I've been having conversations with Christians and non-Christians about the same thing. And the topic that keeps coming up is salvation. Are we saved? What are we saved from? And how do we become saved? Most of us have probably heard the devil's biggest trick is that he doesn't exist. That's what he tries to tell the world, that he doesn't actually exist. But there's a few more lies that he's been saying, spreading, which I'd like to speak about this morning. I was on YouTube the other day, actually most days, but anyway. And this debate came up on one of my feeds on YouTube, and it was an evolution and creation debate. And the title of this clip came up, it said, Dawkins Destroys Creationist. And those who don't know Dawkins, his name's Richard Dawkins, is quite a well-known atheist. And I thought, I'll just click onto it and see what he had to say. And he didn't destroy the creationists at all. All he did was pretty much insult him. Which isn't unusual. It's not all that uncommon. But I decided, in my wisdom, to post under the YouTube clip. And all I posted was, I wish I had as much faith in my God as evolutionists do in their theory. And I thought, I'll just leave it at that. That's what happens. And oh my goodness. I've worked with blokes all my working life, and I've heard some pretty interesting language. But there were some words I got called. I had to Google to know if they were complimenting me or not. So I had a barrage of abuse, and that's okay. I got broad shoulders, I can handle it. But I asked, I said, how is it possible if two rocks hit together, like the Big Bang Theory, from that we see what we've got in the world today? We got love and we got hate. And where did love and hate come from? Not to mention the complexities of our body and just the majesty of a flower. Some of the replies I got were quite unusual. And then I started to share with them my view on Jesus, and it wasn't too long before they banned me. But, I hope that some of the things that I said gets some of them thinking, and I think it did on a couple of them in particular. But one of the lies that I think that we hear is that I'm a good person. Nigel just spoke about it. You know, you hear people say, I don't do drugs. All my friends say that I'm a good person. So I'll be going to heaven because I'm a good person. And they normally end the sentence with, if there is such a thing of a God, I'll be going to heaven because I'm a good person. And the second is, God is a loving God, so he won't punish us anyway. I think those two are really dangerous lies. Number one, I'm a good person. And number two, God is a God who doesn't punish. When I read the Bible, I like to start at Genesis and read through the Bible that way. Read right through the Revelations. That's how I find it best for myself to read the Bible. I know other people like to read a psalm and then a chapter, and that's cool too. But that's just the way that that I read the Bible. And if you read through the Old Testament, as Nigel says, there's a golden thread that runs through the Old Testament, and that's mankind's need for a saviour. Because there is a place called hell. But the interesting thing is, the Bible doesn't stop talking about hell in the Old Testament. In fact, Jesus talks about it in the New Testament, and he talks more about hell than heaven in the New Testament. Hell is real. It's a place of torment. It was actually made for the devil and his angels. So starting with the first lie, we hear a lot that I'm a good person, or they are good people. Most of us have been at funerals and they've said such and such is a good person and they're in a better place now. We can come up with a doctrine where if we do more good than bad, we become good people, so we go to heaven. But I don't think that's what lines up with what the Bible teaches. In Romans chapter 3, he says that, in fact, none of us are good. Romans 3:9, it says, all, both Jews and Greek, are under sin. It is written, none is righteous, not one. Not one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Verse 23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I know this is pretty deep this morning, which is unusual for my messages, but it's been on my heart to talk about it. But we can have a view of ourselves and our friends and think we are good people, but that's not the way that's not what God's word says. God says when he looks at the world, he doesn't see anyone righteous, not even one. And if the wages of sin of death, then they all deserve punishment. And if you remember in history, if you go to Genesis chapter 6, God looks at the world and says, I'm so grieved. I'm going to flood the world and destroy the whole world, except for Noah and his family. And I'm sure there are plenty of people walking the earth at that time who were thinking, I'm a good person. All my mates say that I'm a good person. I do more good than bad. But God looked on the world and says, there's no one righteous there. And when you see pictures of Noah's Ark in kids' Bibles and so forth, there's normally a picture of a boat with Noah with his big beard, a couple of giraffes' heads sticking out, things like that. But they turn into a bit of a fairy tale. But actually, it's tragedy for the people who drowned. There would have been bodies everywhere. And it's also a story of the character of God. See, that goes with the second lie. How can a loving God punish? And there is no such thing as hell. But then again, we need to look at his actions. Would a loving God flood the earth and destroy his own creation? Yes, he would, because he's just God. I know some people might think, well, that's the Old Testament, so that's old school. And so we're under a time of grace now, which is true. But if you look at the book of Revelations, that's actually the last book in the Bible, it talks about our loving God is going to do in the future. Chapter 20, verse 10, he says, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and false prophet were, and they were tormented day and night forever and ever. So to say that God, who does not punish, it just doesn't line up with our Bible, does it? And it goes on to say in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire also. As I said, this is Revelation is not what's happened in the past, it's what's going to happen in the future. And at some point, we need to ask who is in authority. Is it what the Word of God is telling us, or is it what the world's telling us? Do we believe that God's changed, or do we believe what His Word says? Yes, He is a loving God, but He is also a just God. See, these are two destructive lies. Number one, you're a good person. Number two, He's a God who doesn't punish. And I believe Satan himself is trying to teach the world these lies so that we believe we don't need a Saviour. But the Bible teaches us, no, we need Jesus. We need to make Him Lord of our life. If we want to get to heaven, we aren't going to get there from being a good person. There's only one way I know how to get there, and that's through Jesus. He is our only hope. Our life is precious, and it goes fast. James chapter 4, it says, you don't even know what happened tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. We don't know our future here on earth. Anything can happen. But one thing that is for sure is God's judgment. Hebrews 9:27 says, just as people are destined to die once and after to face judgment. Eternity is endless. It's going to go on forever. And God's love, and in God's love, He's given us a choice. We can either accept what the world says, or we can accept what God says. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, and there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we can be saved. Jesus is the only way. So how do we choose Him? Romans says that all have sinned and fallen short. And if you look at the word all in Greek, it actually means all. So it's all of us. And we have to admit that we are sinners and humble ourselves before God. I know I'm preaching to the choir a bit this morning, but I think it's good to remind ourselves sometimes. We need to repent. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 says, I tell you, but unless you repent, you too will perish. We need to turn away from sin, and the Holy Spirit will help us with that. And we need to believe. We need to believe in our hearts that Jesus is He who He says He is. John 3:16 says, For whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And finally, we need to ask Him into our hearts and our lives, and we need to do it. We can't get to heaven on the back of Nigel and Gail's salvation. We need to make that choice for ourselves. God's love, as I said before, he gives us a choice, either the world or salvation through Jesus.